Good morning, Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody out this morning. Even with your mask, don't worry about it. I know you're smiling. David, you got a permanent smile, so I ain't worried about you. Turn with me this morning to page number 124. We are celebrating America's Independence Day today. Well, actually, that was yesterday, but so it carries over to this morning. So turn with me to page 124. Page 124.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. God mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. Oh, beautiful for patriotry that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities claim, undimmed by tears. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Please be seated.
God bless America. It's wonderful to be here this morning. Good to be able to be in the house of the Lord. And it's such a blessing to be a part of this great nation that we live in. I have a few things I want to say about that in a little bit. But first, we have some other business to take care of. So welcome to everyone that's here, to everyone on Facebook Live, YouTube, however you're getting this service. We're glad to have you. Invite you in to be just a part of these services as we do our best to honor God and give Him all the praise and the glory. Yesterday was the day, 4th of July, that we celebrate our independence. And we're thankful to God for giving us this great nation. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. So some announcements. I'll get started and I won't be able to stop. So this morning is the building fund offering. And so there's a basket back there on the back table. If you would like to contribute to the building fund, please do so. Also, the offering plates are at the back. So you can drop your tithes and offerings off back there, or you can continue to mail them to Brother Russ. His address is on the website. So whatever is more convenient for you. Tonight is our regular annual business meeting. And so we will be electing teachers and whatever. Everything's open. So my advice to you is if you don't want a job, you might ought to be here to protect yourself. Hi, Haley. It's good to see you and your family. I'm glad you're here. If you want to work, if you want to do something, please let us know. I'm sure we can find a place. And so that's tonight at 6 o'clock. We have some other stuff to talk about as well, so be here if you can. All right? Any other announcements or word?
Please remain standing for a Pledge of Allegiance and the playing of our national anthem. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. By the way, that soundtrack, you can be seated. That soundtrack was provided to us by David Henderson, one of our... David Harrison, one of our members here at church, at Miss Jerry's grandson and Russell and Georgia's son. They do a beautiful job. Let's turn to page number 126. We're going to sing America.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. My native country, thee, land of the noble free, thy name I love. I love thy rocks and rills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture thrills like that above. Our Father's God, to thee, author of liberty, long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King.
I'm going to do a song for you this morning. Miss Betty gave me this song a while back and asked me if I would do this for her, and so I'm going to do that this morning and dedicate this song to her. You know, as we look across this world today and some of the things that's happening, it's important for us as Christians to remember that everything that we have and everything that we believe centers on a miracle. God performed miracle after miracle, and He's still doing it. He's still in control. No matter what's going on, He's still in control. He still knows about it. And I think that this song that Sister Betty asked me to do kind of coincides with what's going on today. It's entitled, It Took a Miracle.
My Father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny. A God of might and miracles, 'tis written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when He saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. The Bible tells us of His power and wisdom all the way through, and every little bird and flower are testimonies too. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when He saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace.
We're living the miracle right now as we speak. And Jesus, God, still in control, and we thank Him for everything He's done for us. We're thankful for this great nation. We'll talk about it just for a few minutes. But most especially, I'm thankful for Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross at Calvary. Because without Jesus giving His life on the cross at Calvary, even the freedoms that we enjoy today would mean nothing. Because true peace, true freedom only comes from serving the risen Savior. We've been in our church series. I'm going to finish it up this morning. So I'm going to give you some scriptures you might look up. And then I want to speak for just a minute about Independence Day. So Revelation 19, Isaiah 11, and Romans 8. I'm kind of going from one end to the other and then back again. So, all right. Just a few things about Independence Day. I've done a lot of reading over the years and enjoy reading history, and sometimes I think maybe you need to do a little digging because we are really living in an era when we're living in the history of now, and our history is who makes us who we are. And so if we don't know who we are and where we came from, we truly don't know who we are as a nation today or as individuals. So do a little digging. Don't just take everything for granted. The truth is out there. It, like anything else, requires a little bit of effort. My daddy always used to tell me, anything that's worth having is worth working for. And so if it's really worth having, it's worth putting a little bit of effort in. July the 4th, 1776, the Continental Congress had declared that the 13 American colonies were free and independent and were no longer subject to the rule of Britain and its king, King George III. They actually took the vote on July the 2nd. July the 4th, which we celebrate as Independence Day, is the day that the proclamation was made, the announcement was made. A ragtag army of farmers, businessmen, people that risked everything that they had so that we might enjoy this freedom. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we forget that the ones that signed their name to this Declaration of Independence, if we had lost, could have and most likely would have been found guilty of treason and hanged. That's how much they believed in this great experiment, it's been called by many, of freedom that we live in. The experiment, if you will, to use a coined phrase, still in progress. We've enjoyed these freedoms that were declared and this Constitution that was written And I stand before you today and believe within, with every fiber of my being, that God saw to the writing this great document, to the rights and the Bill of Rights and the amendments that were put in there that we live under today. We owe a lot to our forefathers. But I want you to think about this for just a minute. This little ragtag army that shouldn't have ever had a chance of winning freedom went up against the greatest army, the greatest navy in the world at the time. Many of them didn't have firearms. They fought with pitchforks and regular farm instruments or implements, and they won. Not because they were a great fighting force, but because God was on their side. That was a supreme sacrifice on our forefathers. 244 years we've enjoyed this freedom. My prayer is that if Jesus doesn't come back before then, that in another 244 years, pastors across this great nation will still have the freedom to stand behind pulpits. Hopefully this will be one of them, and proclaim that God saw to the forming of this great nation, and to thank Him for the ability, our freedom to be able to stand and proclaim that He is the reason we have these freedoms. And we give Him the thanks. We're granted these freedoms and speeches to assemble through this great Constitution that we have. Let us never take it for granted. I would submit to you and anyone that's listening to this morning, our forefathers gave all they had. They gave everything. They risked everything for us. Do we owe our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren anything less? Because without us standing, without us taking a stand on the freedoms and standing on the Constitution, they won't have what we've got. It's up to us. It's strictly up to us, folks, what we do with it from this point forward. So I would ask you to be much in prayer for our nation, be much in thanks for what God has granted us, and pray that He will see that this nation stands, that the world might have a voice, a Christian voice, that proclaims Christ, that proclaims God Almighty in control of all. Nothing's free. How we see a lot of stuff anymore about free this, free that. Let me tell you something. If you don't know it already, there is nothing free. It might be free to you, or you may claim it as free, but it costs someone. Nothing is free. It's up to us to see that what our forefathers gave us is carried forth. I want to ask if you would stand with me, and we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our morning service. So if you would, please stand. As every head is bowed, our fathers, we come to you at this time, Lord. We are so thankful. I'm so thankful, God, that You allowed me to be born into this great nation. Lord, I'm thankful for our forefathers, that many of our forefathers came before the Declaration of Independence. And Lord, many of them lived through it and fought for it. And for those brave men and women that had the fortitude and the godly inspiration to sing of the forming of this nation. And Lord, the Constitution and the freedoms to assemble and to speak, Lord, and the freedom to worship in spirit and in truth. We're thankful today for that. Lord, for those since that day in this last 244 years that have stood on godly principles and helped see that our Constitution stayed where it was and is, Lord, we're thankful for them. Lord, as we move forward as a nation, let us as a nation never forget that we owe everything that we have here, all the freedoms that we so graciously thank you for to you. And Lord, we pray that you protect this nation. I pray, Lord, that you would just build a hedge around us and help us, Lord, that we would be found doing your will in everything. Lord, strengthen our hearts. Strengthen our morality. Strengthen our resolve to preach Jesus Christ to the world. I pray that you be with the leaders of our country. Lord, I pray that as we move forward to this election time in November, that we would all put our petty differences aside and vote a Christian conscience. Thank you for Jesus and what he's done for us. We do what we do through his strength and through his guidance. And it's in his precious name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. I hope we all understand and realize how blessed we are to be a part of this great nation. And we owe it all to God. I've preached about it over the years many times. I'm not going to re-preach those sermons this morning, but we're talking about Gene, and then we sang some songs about miracles this morning. It's a miracle that this nation is here today, that survived many things. It's a miracle as well that the church is still here. We've been in a series. I think I've prepared 7 sermons in this series. One of them was changed, if you remember, on the spur of the moment. So I have one that I haven't preached. Maybe someday I'll go back and do it. But for the last several weeks, we've been talking about the church that Jesus started while he was here on this earth. We've been talking about the church that Jesus is still in control of. This is his church. This church belongs to him, not you and I. The one true church. And now, if you're listening, wherever you're listening, if you're here this morning, I did not say that this is the only true church. But there is only one true church. And it was started by Jesus. And the teachings that he left are still taught by the true church. And here's what the truth is. Jesus saves, and Jesus saves completely. And without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we have no hope. That is the message. That's the message that we stand on. That's what we preach and teach. We've seen the word preached in many, many places around the world. And the church is still striving to provide biblical truths to those who have never heard it and for those that don't know Jesus Christ. Remember this, if you remember nothing else. Jesus saves, and Jesus saves completely. And without that, we as individuals have no hope. This great nation that we live in cannot survive if Jesus withdraws from it. We've talked many things about the aspects of the church in its present form. And last week we even talked a bit about the rapture. And how that I know that the word rapture doesn't appear in the Bible. But the teaching does. And basically it is the teaching that Jesus is going to come back. And we're going to be taken up to be with him forever. The rapture simply is a calling away of those who believe and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. When I read in 1 Thessalonians, and I read the scripture last week, and I see that Jesus himself is going to come back in the air and with a shout and with the trump. He's going to call those of us up to be with him forever. I long for that new body that he's bringing back for me. I look forward to the calling away of the church. But until then, friend, we have a lot of work to do. And if I understand Bible prophecy at all. Time is getting short. We're living the last days. I don't pretend to know when Jesus is coming back. Only God knows. But we are in the last days because the last days is the church age, and that's where we're at. I think it's very likely that we're in the last of the last days. So be careful how you choose who you serve. We have a lot of work to do, church. And after the rapture then, preacher, what happens? What happens then? Glorious day. Glorious day. Praise the Lord. It's a valid question, and if you have ever read end time prophecies, you know at least some about what the church is going to be doing at that time. But it's going to be events after the rapture of the church that we wouldn't wish on anyone. Things that this world has never seen. The wrath of God poured out on the world that's rejected His Son, Jesus Christ. Trust me, friend, you don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. The question is often asked, but what if you're wrong, preacher? What if I'm wrong? Then truly, you've lived a more moral life, a better life of service, one that's governed by love. What could be wrong with that? But what if I'm right? And let me tell you, I am. Because I've seen God work, and I know the truths of His Word because the Holy Spirit, God's precious Word, the Bible, reveals them to us. If I'm right, and you reject Jesus, you'll be here through some times that this world will never see the like of, either before or after. Do you want to take that chance? It's real simple. All you have to do is trust and believe in Jesus Christ. Spare yourself the tribulation that the world has coming. You also, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have this to look forward to. This glorified body, the one that never ages, is not affected by this sin nature that we all possess. The coronavirus will have no effect on this body. AIDS, cancer, none of it affects this body. That's the one that Jesus is bringing back with Him. While the rest of the world is being led here after the rapture of the church by the Antichrist and His unholy Trinity and all the things that are going on down below, we, us born-again believers, us members of the true church, will be in heaven. We're going to be up there with Jesus. And I know that to be true because God's holy Word tells me. And I know His Word to be true because it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I stand before you and bear witness this morning that when the Holy Spirit led me to salvation and I accepted, the weight of the world left me, and I've never worried about death since. That's the peace that passes understanding. It only comes from Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 19. I want to begin reading in verse 6. Revelation's a heavy book. It's the only book of the Bible that we're told that we'll be blessed when we read it and study it. There is a lot in Revelation that we may never understand till Jesus comes back. There is a lot in the book of Revelation that many people will disagree on until Jesus comes back. Here's one thing that we can't disagree on. God is God. Jesus is the Savior. And He's going to call us up to be with Him one of these days. We might disagree on when. But listen to me, friend. If you don't think Jesus is going to rapture, call you up, and give you a new glorified body, we've got some big issues. because the Bible teaches that. Revelations 19:6. Here we are in heaven. I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. Listen to me, friend. The church is the bride of Christ. We've made ourselves ready by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There will be multitudes of born-again believers at this time in heaven rejoicing. The voice as of many waters, many people, many multitudes of people who've accepted Jesus Christ. And the church, in verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. I've heard many people debate on what a saint is. Listen to me very closely. I want to tell you what a saint is. A saint is a born-again believer covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's you and I. Because you see, we can't live good enough to be anything other than saved by the grace of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. The church, though, is granted. Do you see that? It doesn't say has earned. It doesn't say has worked for. It says really given. The church is granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. We come to church, stand before you this morning in a suit and tie. Doesn't change who I am. Doesn't change me one bit. We dress up in our best. But I want you to know something, friend. When we stand before Jesus Christ, after we've been judged, and after we have been given our glorified body, when we stand before Him arrayed in fine linen, the clothes that we wear at that time are pure and clean and sinless. And you can never, ever wear a finer garment than the one Jesus is going to give the church at that time. Arrayed in fine linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. You see, us born again believers, our righteousness is in Jesus Christ. After we get to where He's at and after we get our glorified body, our righteousness is still His. And He's given it to us. And verse 9, and He saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Listen to me. Listen to me, church. Listen to me, born-again believer. Blessed are you when you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Equally, I have to stand here and tell you this morning that cursed are you when you reject Jesus Christ. Because contrary to what a lot of the world would have you to believe today, there is no in-between. There is only Jesus Christ and those who reject Him. There is only heaven where we see the church now in the Scriptures and hell. There's no in between. Choose wisely. It is an eternal choice. I can't wait to stand in the group of born-again believers with our glorified body, dressed in this righteous clothing that God gives us, and sing praises to our Savior. What a glorious day that's going to be. We here at Oak Hill have some of the best singing I've ever had the privilege of being associated with. God has truly blessed us here. We have some very talented, very gifted people here. And we have some like myself that just sing and make a joyful noise when I can. But together, it's wonderful. If you've been here, you know what I'm talking about. But when we get in heaven and we're singing praises to God, I can only imagine how great that song is going to be. And we're going to get to be a part of it. That's the church. That's us. And that's anyone who's accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, even after now, till Jesus comes. Now, I don't want you to leave here this morning and say, well, he said no one's going to be saved after the rapture of the church. That's not what I'm saying. But I want to tell you this. I don't believe that those saved after the rapture of the church are going to be a part of the bride. Don't be left out. Be a part of this great day. The church has a special place in God's heart. The church has special privileges in eternity, but especially in the rule and reign of Christ. We'll get to that in a minute. White linen, righteousness of saints. Here we are. Here we are today, close to the end of time as we know it. And I've heard people say even many years ago, well, you Christians, y'all keep saying the same thing. You keep saying Jesus is coming back, hadn't come back yet. Let me tell you something, friend. He's coming back. Don't be left behind. We are today one day closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ than we were yesterday. We are today over 2,000 years closer than we were when Jesus was here. I believe that Jesus could come back at any time. Time is short. Read the scripture. You don't have to take my word for it. Here we are. We've been judged at this point. I've been asked this in our studies and Revelation. Well, what do we do after the rapture? And we're up here for this 7 years. And oh yes, I do believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. That's my belief. What do we do? Well, I think we're going to be judged during that time. And how do you know that, preacher? Well, because we have our white, pure clothing. Keep that thought in mind. I'm going to come back to it in just a little bit. Shortly after this feast, after this judging of the church, and after this feast, this wedding supper, if you will, Jesus is coming back to this earth to conquer it. Well, I don't want you to be confused, so try to make this as plain and simple as I can. The second coming of Jesus Christ is a twofold event. The first part is that He's coming back into the air and He's calling those of us who've believed and accepted Him as Lord and Savior up to be with Him. The second part of the second coming of Christ is when He comes back with us on His white horse and conquers this earth and rules it for 1,000 years with us at His side. Revelation 19, verse 11. Remember, Revelation is Jesus telling John what to write. So John is seeing this stuff like a movie. And John said in verse 11, 19, I saw heaven opened. You know, as I read these scriptures and as I think about it, I see old John standing there and I see this big movie screen in front of him and I see like it was that you would open up a big door. And John saw this big door opened and heaven opened to his sight. Can you imagine looking into the presence of God from right here where we're at today? And at this point, John saw a heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That, my friend, is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is the Word. Excuse me. And the armies. Did you hear that? And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Think with me for a second, friend. That army, those armies, are the saints who've been judged and who are coming back to this earth with Jesus to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. That's us. That's those who have went before us, who've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's those of us who are alive and well today. That's those of us during this church age, before the rapture of the church, who've accepted Jesus Christ. That's the armies. That's the armies. That's our clothing. That's clothed in fine linen. And look at verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. You see, when Jesus comes back, and when he brings us back with us, with him, to set up his rule and reign here on this earth, there will be no doubt in this world who's in charge. He is going to crush the armies of the world. He is going to defeat the kings and the queens and the presidents and the dictators and all of those. And he's going to assume 100% authority on this earth. That's Jesus. That's the Son of Almighty God. And though we're going to be with him, though we're going to be following him as he comes down and sets up his rule and reign, you and I are not going to have to fight, because he's going to do the fighting. He's going to do the winning, and he is going to be victorious. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's my Jesus. That's our Savior. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. After this part, when he's set up his rule and reign, 1,000 years, 1,000 years of ruling with Christ right here on this earth. And it's not a ruling like we see today, where there's political interest and money speaks, and it's going to be a pure, righteous rule where the same rules apply to everyone equally. Satan's going to be bound in this bottomless pit, locked, chained for 1,000 years. His influence will not be visited upon this earth for that 1,000 years while Jesus reigns. And while he reigns completely. But you and I will be a part of it, church. I can't wait. Isaiah 11, verse 1. I'll try to hurry along, not make us too awful late. Bear with me, please. Isaiah 11 and 1. Back to the old Bible prophecies, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, which is through King David, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Listen to me, friend. It's talking about Jesus here. Jesus came through the lineage of David, as was prophesied. Isaiah is telling us that this branch that comes out of the stem of Jesse, David's dad, father, grows and it has roots. And the spirit of understanding, wisdom, counsel, might, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord abides in Jesus Christ. Verse 3, and shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Listen to me, friend. Today, we are judged a lot, maybe mostly, by what people see. Part of the reason why it's so important that we keep our witness pure. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Little ears, what you hear. Little eyes, what you see. You might find yourself in a place that costs you your witness. And you may be the only one that can reach someone that you love dearly and lead them to the Lord. Jesus is not going to judge like men judge, though. He is going to judge righteously. Jesus is going to judge justly. He's not going to judge by the sight of his eyes. It's not going to be about how pretty you are. It's not going to be about your stature or your status in life. It's going to be on the truth and out of righteousness. He's not going to judge you about what other people say about you either, friend. He's going to judge you on your own merits. That's Jesus. Verse 4, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove the equity of the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Listen to this. This is talking about the thousand-year rule and reign of Christ. In verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, mortal enemies. Think about that. The lamb is eaten up by every creature out there. They're meek. They don't have a good defense. So the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of an asp, and the weaned child shall put his hands on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Think with me for just a moment. This is describing a time on this earth. This is before the new heaven and the new earth. This is describing a time on this earth when Jesus Christ rules and reigns with a rod of iron in righteousness. This picture is contrary to everything that we see in this world today. The snake will bite you, and it's poisonous. The wolf will eat the sheep, and the baby sheep is gobbled up by the lion. That's what we're used to. We are used to that. But in the righteous reign of Christ, it won't be like that here on this earth. There will be no doubt at this time that the leadership of this world is different, that God's in control. There won't be any doubt in the whole world that Jesus is the one ruling and reigning. Not just in America, but in all the world, it will be like this. Jesus ruling in a land of peace and tranquility. righteous rule, not ruling according to your influence. That, my friend, is what the church, the saints, the born-again believers have to look forward to. That is also why we're still here. So that we can tell people. So that we can tell them that Jesus saves. And that no matter what you see, things will be better when Jesus comes. That's why we tell them. So they can accept Jesus before it's too late and become one of us. By the grace of God, we are saved through our faith in Jesus Christ. And it's a gift. My friend, I want you to know that living in this nation, in this United States of America, is a gift from God. But it's not the greatest gift that God has given us. The greatest gift that God has given us is His Son, Jesus Christ. And because of that gift, we have this to look forward to, ruling and reigning. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. We'll be a part of this glorious day by the grace of God and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I hope that you can remember this scripture I'm fixing to read. Listen to what it says. Romans 8 and 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. I want you to know something. I want to stop there for a second. I'll read some more, but listen to me. When we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it does not make us not sinners. It just makes us born again sinners. And if you still long for and seek after the sinful things in this life, you might need to examine your salvation experience, because we're different, because the Holy Spirit moved in. We have something different guiding our lives. It doesn't mean that we don't have to deal with it. It doesn't mean that we're not tempted of Satan. It doesn't mean that we don't still have this sin nature, but our desire in this life should be different. It's not the pleasure of the flesh for a season. It's serving true and living risen Savior. It's to be led. It's to be led by the Spirit of God to be the best Christian we can be. In verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Think about that for a second. See, I'm afraid there's a lot of people in the world out there that claim to be something they're not. Because you can tell me you've been saved again. I know no difference. God does. He knows the truth. And you know the truth. But you see, I think that when we get saved, when we accept Jesus Christ truly as our Lord and Savior, our focus changes. Our desires change. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Friend, are you being led by the Spirit of God? Can you, wherever you're at, however you're hearing this, honestly say to God, I follow where you lead? It's a big question and one that we need to answer. I didn't say it was easy. I don't think it'll ever be easy until we get our new body. But it's a question that we need to ask ourselves. Because are we fooling ourselves? Because listen to me, friend. If you're walking off out there out of the will of God and the Spirit of God is not leading you back to a correct walk, you might ought to get on your knees and examine your salvation. Oh yeah, we get backslidden and off the path. And if we're honest with ourselves and with everybody else, we've all been there. I've been there. But the Spirit was always convicting me, leading me, directing me back to where He wanted me to be. And I have great comfort in that. Led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And listen to what it says. Verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Don't take my word for it, friend. God said it right here. The Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit, and only you and God know if you're truly a child of God. And if you are, and I pray all of you are, if you're not, you can be, but if you are, listen to this. It makes my heart sing with joy. And verse 17, and if children, okay, then heirs, of God and joint heirs with Christ. I can't think of a better club to be a part of, can you? Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Joint heirs of God. I'm not very pretty. Lord knows I don't have much money. But you know what? Better days are coming because I am a highly favored child of the King. Jesus Christ covered my sins and made me whole. And I look forward to the day when I can claim my inheritance and be with God forever and rule and reign with Christ in my glorified body on this earth for 1,000 years. Where the lion lies down with the little baby lamb. Things are different because Jesus is in control. I am an heir of everything that you see, because it all belongs to my Father, God Almighty. You have the same opportunity, friend. Jesus died for you. As I look back over this congregation, my prayer is that each and every one of you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But if you don't, God has given you another opportunity. If you're out there in Facebook land, you don't have to be here to be saved. All you have to do is trust and believe. Call upon the name of the Lord. He is faithful and just. Whosoever, that's everybody, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. It don't say might, maybe, if. It says shall. So if you trust, if you believe, if you go over in Ephesians 2, 8, 9 and you read that, we are saved by the grace of God, by our faith, through our faith in Jesus Christ. And it's not about how good we are. It's all about how good Jesus is. It's a gift of God. Listen, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you too are a joint heir, a highly favored child of the King. Praise God. Better days are coming. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He's given you another opportunity. With everything that's going on in the world today, and as we've read and as we read even more of the end time prophecies, don't fool yourself, friend. I truly believe Jesus could come back right now. Don't miss your opportunity. Get down on your knees. Ask Jesus to save your soul. Change your life. Change your destination. Because the truth will set you free. As we celebrate Independence Day, declare your independence from this sinful body through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Claim your inheritance now. It's up to you. It's up to you. If you do that, let us know. We want to reach out to you. If you're here this morning and you need Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask our song leader and our pianist to come. I'll ask you to stand with me for a word of prayer. You come. You come and give your life to Jesus. Bow with me, please. Our Father, as we come to you at this time, Lord, thankful for the many blessings you give us. Thankful for your word. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for your blood that shed on the cross for us. For the promises that you've made us. And Lord, as we know that things are trying, let us never forget that you've given us the ultimate gift and that the promises that you've made to us are going to come true. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this opportunity. I pray that if there's any lost that are hearing this sermon today, that they would open their hearts and accept him before it's too late. It's the precious blood of Jesus we pray these things. Amen.
Page 270.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small.
Don't worry about the camera, they're all off. If you need to come down, if you want to pray, if you want to come to the altar, if you don't know Jesus, come down and let me share him with you.
Jesus paid.
This is your time. Jesus paid it all.
Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white.
White as snow. I look forward to those white linens.